to the club because you're that kind of nerd.
Hello and welcome to the club that is that kind of nerd. The show where we talk about stuff and I slowly count down the amount of time until I can play Tears of the Kingdom again. I am Brian. I am joined by my co-hosts CJ and Josh. Say hello, gentlemen.
What up?
Hello, gentlemen.
T-minus 120 minutes and counting. So, let's get this show on the road. This show is a show where we talk about things and we judge things accordingly, and that's all the explanation you will get. As we move into the show, I would like to ask my esteemed co-host, is there anything you all want to talk about first?
Yes, not my topic, but something I do want to talk about, which Brian and I talked a little bit about, and then I stopped him from speaking to me about it, which is the Spider-Man 2 gameplay preview that we got from Sony's event for the PlayStation 5 game, which includes the symbiote Spider-Man, woo! Which I have been very much waiting for, and
wow.
Dual gameplay with Miles and Peter, and it looks so damn good.
It looks amazing.
I'm so happy I have a PlayStation 5. I cannot wait for this game.
That's very funny that you mentioned that. I've also just started a GoFundMe of get Brian a PlayStation 5 because I need one. I need this game. I might just wait for this game to come out and hopefully just get like a Spider-Man bundle because you know they'll do that. They did it for
PS4. You definitely know they're coming. Yeah.
So I might just do that. A lot of things. And I know, you know, you didn't get to watch it live. And I know Josh probably hasn't watched it. Maybe his son did. A lot of really interesting things got dropped at the PlayStation State of Play event that pretty much these digital events have just replaced E3 at this point, which I'm okay with. But that was the big thing, right? But the other big thing that dropped with the Sony that we did not get a chance to talk about is PlayStation 5 is trying to be the Switch now. Did you see this? They're releasing a handheld attachment, I guess you would call it. So actually, Josh, this might interest you because very much like I know you've expressed some love for the PS Vita back in the day, very much like the way the Vita was where you could download the PlayStation games onto this handheld and then, you know, play them on the go. This is the same thing. It's just exclusively tailored for the PS5. Yes, kind of.
Not really though. Like the big catch is that this is the remote play function that the PlayStation offers. And as does the Xbox, right, with cloud gaming. But this is the fact that your PlayStation has to have your PlayStation 5 has to be connected to a network, right? Mm-hmm. And then you are remoting into your PS5 on whatever 5G or Wi-Fi network you are on.
Right.
So it's not like, oh, I've downloaded the games to this physical device and I'm playing off the device. No, I am streaming from my
PS5. Yeah, you're streaming the experience. Yeah. So
all right. I don't yet have a PS5 because Christian hasn't expressed any interest in one.
I have. You want to just, you know,
but let me ask a question. Can he be playing a game and I'm playing something different?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, because
they haven't really released
the way you're talking about it makes me I'm dubious.
They haven't released a ton of information about it yet. But all they said in the state of play is here's the thing. It's a thing we're doing. It's coming soon. But the way it works, based on the fact that it is streaming, it's not. You don't need to have the system like on to be able to stream. You just need to have it in like rest mode connected to the network. So being as that is the case, I would imagine you could have one game being played on the TV while you stream another game on this handheld.
Another game. Could two people be playing the same game at different spots? You know what I'm saying?
I don't think so.
I don't know about that. Because it's using the same
app. I'm just wondering like how app. And this needs, so it does then need to be connected to the same network.
No, that's the beauty of this part. No. And as it exists right now, no. Right? Like, The remote play is different, right? And it's kind of weird. So this isn't like a Steam Deck, and this is Switch-esque, but not necessarily like a Switch. The way that remote play works now, and Brian, I'm not sure. I think we would have to fact check this. I don't think two people can play at the same time via remote play from the same PlayStation 5. I'm not 100% sure.
I don't know.
But what this is clearly saying, they announced it. This is called the PlayStation Q. Right, Q handheld, which basically imagine take a PlayStation 5 controller, break it in half, extend
it, put it on the end of two of a screen,
get rid of the stuff in the middle, right, and just put a small iPhone right in the middle of it, and there you go, that's your thing, right? Like, they're clearly so pressed and so kind of terrified of the Stream Deck and the Switch that they are like, yeah, we'll make something like this too. Where this is really cool, but again, when you get to multiple people playing at different times, I don't know how this thing actually works. Nor, as a person who's used remote play, it's not stellar. Xbox is much better because you're doing a cloud thing where, like, the computer that's running the game is somewhere fucking else, and it's, you know, designed for that, versus Sony's remote play, which is just literally almost like a VLC or VNC into the actual PlayStation. So it's weird. I don't know.
I'm interested.
Cool. I'm interested, yeah, too, but like the fact that there is nothing solid about this is also a little worsome. The fact that they have no
really they're keeping it very close to the vest, cuz I'm sure it's not, I'm sure besides the design, nothing's ready.
That's it.
Yeah, like nothing's ready. We're just like, we know what it's going to look like. Someone took a 3D printer, glued a PlayStation 5 controller on the end of like an iPhone screen or something, and that's what they showed.
They're like, yeah, that'll work. That'll be good, Bob. That's good.
Yeah, we know what it looks like. That's about it. I derailed your conversation about Spider-Man though, because I think we've talked about the PlayStation 4 Spider-Man, Insomniac Spider-Man game on the show before, yeah, right? I think it's doing everything that game did and then just elevating it, not to the next logical level, like five levels beyond. The idea of, and I don't think, if it's not, I don't think it stops at just Miles, right? You may be at this game like Miles, but like, I'm imagining in a Spider-Man 3 by Insomniac or DLC, we'd get like a multiverse thing, and then I can switch between multiple Spider-Men. Spider-Gwen, probably, like, because she is the thing right now. I'm excited for just seeing this gameplay trailer. It's 10 minutes of footage. Makes me excited for the potential of the series moving forward. Makes me excited for this Spider-Man universe, because the story is not anything from the comic books. It's not anything from the movies. It's its own separate thing, and it's being done so well. Even the stuff that is quote unquote not, you know, comic book accurate, very sacrilegious in some regards, work very good in the narrative that they're telling. I am so excited for this game. That I need to speed up my playthrough of Tears of the Kingdom so that I have time to play it.
When you look at the game announcement trailer for this, they show the map of New York, and initially when you play Spider-Man, it is Manhattan. That's it.
It's the island, and that's about it.
And
they go out into the suburbs in this one.
Yeah, like Queens is available. Like, you have way more space available. But I think when you strip away. When you strip away the new characters, the new game mechanics, the new fight combat system, when you strip away the new original story and the brand new, real interesting way that we're handling the symbiote, you know, it's just another remake. It's just another sequel. This thing's amazing. This thing is doing so much. Like, it's not just trying to be, well, you like the last one? Well, we'll just do it again, right? We'll just copy and paste it and make it great. Like, hey, if you play Miles Morales, you play as Spider-Man for like one little bit, right? The rest of it, you all play as Miles. And then when you play the Spider-Man game, well, you can change your costume. That's it. And Miles fights way different than Peter does, right? They have very different. Miles has the Venom punch. He can turn invisible. He's got way weirder tactics and fighting styles. And the fact that you're going to be able to play both of them in this game and switch between them is really going to change of, oh, this level should be done by Miles. This part should be done by Peter. Or, man, you got a tag team into this.
And that's the thing. It's going to the real thing that's really nice about this is that it's not, for to your point, just a change in character or a change in skin, but it's still the same game, right? The way I approach a problem as Peter is going to be very different than the way I approach a problem as Miles because of some of the different abilities, some of the different fight styles. Miles is faster. Miles can, turn invisible. So those stealth missions with Miles, I'm probably going to be a little bit more brazen because I can turn invisible than I would be with Peter because Peter can't. I don't want to ostracize Josh for too long, but I'm excited. It comes out fall 2023. That could be anywhere between September and November. So we'll see exactly when. But I'm excited. I think where I think Tears of the Kingdom is a shoe-in for Game of the Year, I think this might give it a little bit of competition. I think this is going to be the next thing everybody is talking about. CJ, because you can play to the host very well, plus 2 points to you. Congratulations. Because we all know how much I love and feel about Spider-Man.
If I can, I would like to get Josh's perspective on something. And Josh, I just sent an article, and it'll be in our show notes too, that Phil Spencer, who is the CEO of Microsoft Gaming, right? So like he is in charge of the Xbox and everything, right? Was recently giving an interview where he said that they cannot win the console war against Nintendo and Sony right now, and that this was the generation that they had to win. Losing this generation is the worst blow to Microsoft in a long time. That this is where people are building their digital libraries, right? I mean, there's a version of the PlayStation that doesn't come with physical games. You have to do download. The Switch, the same thing. Most people are buying their games digitally and not buying it physically. And that Microsoft has really dropped the ball with this, including their newest game with Redfall being a complete fucking disaster.
Complete disaster.
That I, as a person who was a huge fan of the Xbox One when it came out, I bought the day one edition and didn't buy a PlayStation until the PlayStation 5. I mean, ever. Like, that was the PlayStation. This is a really big blow. I'm kind of curious to you, though. You're the CEO of Microsoft Gaming. You gave the quote that you lost this console war. What does Microsoft do to start winning? Or what is there no hope for this and they're out the game? And they're just going to be this little player that's going to have a tiny bit of market share and one or two exclusive games and that's it. Like, what does Microsoft do at this point to be relevant?
Drop the Xbox platform completely. The best thing they could do is concede defeat and not in the way that like, oh, this wasn't great. But like, cause look, Xbox was great for a long time.
Yeah.
But after 360, they didn't do anything. They didn't do anything new, different. So I think abandoning the console to focus on PC gaming, which is growing and growing and growing, that would be the right move.
Josh, plus 2 points,
right? And innovating ways for Windows users to better interface with their online gaming platforms, that would be the move. Mm-hmm. Like,
ooh.
making it not open source. We know Microsoft is not going to do that, but like making it seamless for PlayStation users to integrate that platform into their Windows experience,
yeah,
so on and so forth. Like that, like that's the move.
They got it. They got to play ball.
Saying we're not, you know what? We're out of the console business,
right?
But you are not in the operating system business, and we are.
Right. Well, we make gaming possible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's the move.
Josh, hands down, I totally agree with you. I already gave you plus 2 points because it feels like even when they released the Xbox One S, whatever the hell this latest generation
stupid
was.
Naming, they got Fast and Furious.
Whatever naming convention they decide with this, like even going into it, like the gaming community in general was not hopeful. Was not like because they didn't have the content, right? And the okay. best thing that has come out of this console is the Game Pass, which yeah. everybody God. Is very Ooh. Much, you can do a Game Pass on PC. And this was the big thing, and this was my big argument when they started dropping information about PS5 and Xbox One S, and you know Nintendo Switch was already out at that time. But my big argument was all of their premier flagship games also had, hey, play it on Xbox. Oh, but you can also play it on PC.
Right.
So why should I buy a console? You're pushing me to PC already. And to Josh's point, like, just concede defeat. You're not going to win a console war. But there's plenty that PC gaming offers that consoles do not. And no, it's not this enhanced experience, because every single freaking game that we try to port from console to PC ends up being a dumpster
Look
fire.
At The Last of Us. Holy yeah. crap, what a dumpster
well,
fire.
But, no, but look, working on that platform, like paying the licensing for portability,
that's something they need to fix. If they could right. get to your point, right? If they could get to the point where I can get a PlayStation exclusive, like Last of Us, like God of War, seamlessly ported into a Windows PC experience, that coupled with the fact that I have the Steam library, which is a plethora of not just AAA titles, but also indie titles, which we all know some of these indie titles become giant behemoths. And console players who are exclusively console, who don't have a PC for gaming, are cut out for years. The best example I can give you is Five Nights at Freddy's, right? Five Nights at Freddy's, released in 2014, the first game, completely blew up. But you didn't get a console version of that game until, what, 4 or 5 years later? With Help Wanted? And by that time, this thing's already a behemoth, and people in the community are already talking about it. And you didn't get to experience it. You know, you weren't there in the moment, right? You got to experience it through other means, like, you know, streamers and stuff like that. So Josh, hit the nail on the head, right? Like, if you couple the fact that we have a machine that indie developers are using, no one is making an indie game, a real indie game, on PlayStation, and definitely not Nintendo, right? No one can yeah. do that. But you know what's easy to do? Making a game for a PC. And some of these things are huge, and they're great, and they're very entertaining. And you couple that with, let's play ball with our competitors. We've lost the console wars. Let's figure out how we can port these things easier, make this experience smoother, and get more people gaming on PC rather than fighting this fight of you need an Xbox or a PlayStation. That's what they need to do. And quite frankly, I don't revitalize Windows in general just because no one freaking likes Windows, the operating system, right now.
Right. So a new Spider-Man does mean other stuff other than new movie, new game. With the first Into the Spider-Verse came the Air Jordan 1 origin story, which are the sneakers you can see in the movie.
Right.
And with Across the Spider-Verse, we have the next chapter. It's called The Next Chapter, the Air Jordan 1 Across the Spider-Verse edition. So Miles Morales is going to get new shoes, and I am feverishly trying to find these because they sold out in seconds.
of course they did.
When they dropped last week. It was just last week that they dropped.
Yeah.
So I already have the first pair. I have the origin story. Christian is not allowed to wear them. They are glorious. Dude, I love them.
I'm looking at these new ones. Holy shit, they look so good.
Yeah, so it's just it's a cool take on, like, it gives you that multiverse feel with the kind of the bubbles and things like that. But since we're talking about a second Spider-Man thing, I wanted to kick it over to something that's in my wheelhouse, which is this new Jordan sneaker. And
so, Josh, I'm going to give you a point for that because all hail Jordan, right? But more importantly, you actually reminded me of another thing that I wanted to talk to you about. And we'll get to your what you have brought to the table eventually. CJ, you brought us down this road, so now you have to deal with it. And you claimed this wasn't
your topic. I'm fine with this. This is good.
But we are on a tangent of a tangent of a tangent, because we started with the games. Then we started talking about Xbox and Microsoft in general. Then we started talking. Now we started talking about the Spider-Man tie-in with the shoes. And Josh, I want to ask you, Have you heard about these sneakers that are meant to be destroyed?
Oh, sneakers that are meant to be destroyed.
Don't worry. I have a video. I will show it to you. It is from one of my favorite channels by my favorite YouTube creator, MatPat, from the Style Theory channel. And it's one of his shorts. So it's a 30-second video. Let me show this to you. And then I'm going to ask you, is this something you would be interested in purchasing for yourself, given that it's a gimmick? Let's face it. It's a gimmick. But let me show you this.
This right here is no ordinary shoe. This is a shoe that's made to be destroyed. Introducing the Gobstompers, created by a company named Mischief. You might have heard of them if you saw Waifu Tax Simulator 3000 circulating a couple months ago. Well, these shoes are actually designed to be like a piece of candy, where bit by bit they wear away, revealing the layers of color underneath, creating a completely unique design for your own personal fit. So, let's destroy some footwear, shall we?
No, but, like, I get it. There is a Nike SB colorway that kind of changes based on heat. But I'm not no. I mean, I don't want tie-dye shoes to begin with. If it was somehow predictable, yeah, it's fine. This particular gimmick is not for me. Is this, am I reading that this is like a, did Jimmy Fallon somehow collaborate in this, or did he
did.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems fine.
There are so many sneakerheads that I know that the no crease don't crease the shoe. I know you have to wear a shoe, otherwise literally the rubber starts deteriorating at a certain point. Like, it needs to be moved around or it can start falling to pieces.
It'll get brittle. It'll get brittle. Yeah.
I've seen people just take their finger and just blah, there goes a whole sole of a shoe. Like the damn thing goes away, right? I think this is interesting, but I think to your point, like, it's kind of ugly. Like, it's not the fashion statement that I would make.
Yeah, I don't want.
But it kind of goes against the convention of, hey, sneakerhead, don't like keep it in the box, don't crease it. This goes against it. It's like, yo, man, make it a work of art by wearing it and make it a gobstoppery. Sorry, gobstomper, because gobstopper is trademarked by the Willy Wonka candy company.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, it's fine. Yeah, I'm just like, it's not great. It's just fine. Do I want tie-dye shoes? No.
Tie-dye's making a comeback. Also, a lot of the stuff from the 90s is making a comeback style-wise. It really is upsetting. I was at the works the other day. It's all a bunch of kids working. I'm like, did you guys fucking teleport from like 2002? Like,
why does everybody have slap bracelets?
Yeah, and like that hairstyle, I got made fun of for having that fucking bowl.
For having a mullet?
Oh my God! There's a kid. Kids with mullets. Right,
I can't.
Now.
I can't even begin to understand these kids walking around heart. With mullets. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I will never forget this. This CJ's not topic has turned all the way back around into a personal story. when we were working at Best Buy, and I was running the home theater department. Melissa and Andy, as you both know, like run up to me and they're like, oh my God, Brian, you need to see this guy. You know, because when you work retail, you people watch, you know, and you judge people harshly. And it's this guy with the most glorious mullet ever, right? And they bring me over and they're like, oh my God, look at this guy. This mullet looks ridiculous. And I'm like, you know what? I walked right up to him. I knew him from Blockbuster.
No.
So I was like, from my days at Blockbuster, he was a regular there. So I was like, hey, Mike, how you doing, man? And he's like, oh my God. And so like, and then I turn around to see Melissa and Andy dive bomb behind a display because they're laughing too hard and they couldn't be seen by said people. But that was just a core memory you unlocked with the mullet. So Josh, another point for you, for mentioning mullets. One more point for slap bracelets, and CJ plus two more points for bringing this entire tangent at the beginning of the show before we actually even started the show proper technically. So
we have not yet begun.
We haven't even begun.
This is all pre-show.
Pre-show. Let us get into the show proper. I feel like we've touched on video games. We've touched on tech. We've touched on fashion. We've touched on movies. Here's a little bit of food tie into all of this. Spider-Man has a red Whopper bun for the Spider-Man Across the Universe movie at Burger King. There's your food entry. So I feel like we've covered the entire gamut of things that we normally like to talk about, but I know you gentlemen came with some sort of topics.
Thank you so much for making us your walk around your neighborhood.
It's only been half an hour. I'm not closing it out just yet.
We covered food, fashion, electronics, gaming. Like, what more do you want from us?
So I know you two have some sort of topics that you want to discuss. And CJ, I swear to God, if you want to talk about the HBO Max Max debacle,
I do not want to talk about how lousy Max is.
So what do we got? So first and foremost, either of you have any inkling to want to go first?
I'll go first.
I feel like because CJ brought us the tangent, I'm going to let Josh go first.
Sounds good. you're the host. I just
yes,
here.
I am, and thus I have all the power, and I want Josh to go first.
So we ironed out that we were going to record at 10 o'clock this morning. We did that, I think, yesterday, right?
Yes.
And so I'm like, you know what I should do? I should find a topic.
Perfect. I love being
very
prepared.
Very, very important thought. I like it.
So I did what I always do, and I went to Flipboard because it's an easy, like, if there's not something burning in my brain, Flipboard will give me something to be angry about.
There you go.
That's
did
very
not
true.
Disappoint.
Was it how Flipboard is lousy?
No. Flipboard's fine. I don't have a problem with Flipboard. And I'm going to tell you why I'm angry about this first list, and then I'm going to go to the actual list that I'm angry.
Josh,
about.
Are you utilizing the Instagram account we made for you last time?
I just signed into it. I have not uploaded anything yet.
By the time this is published, there should be a post.
There you go.
Yeah. So the manual is the name of this website, and Sean Laib on May 27th posted our favorite spy movies ranked.
This is a very similar list to the list that you ranted about
right?
last time.
I said this is going to be wrong, and that's why I'm not going to dwell on this list. But at 10, they do have Austin Powers, and then I went, "What? How are you going to?"
The first one.
And at number 9, they had number 9. They had Spy, and that's when I just gave up on the list.
Oh, there you go.
What?
Right. So it's not even a thing. They don't have a single Daniel Craig movie on here. It's just not, I don't know what the guy's phone, it completely phoned in. It's phoned in. So then I went to find something, a bit, you know, and I just go to uprocks.com, and that takes 5 seconds to get angry as well.
There you go.
So the first,
you didn't even need to hit BuzzFeed to
No, I don't. That's, the first 10 movies of the Fast and Furious franchise ranked. This was posted on May 22nd.
Ooh.
This is on Uproxx.
I am excited to hear this.
The first 10 movies of the Fast and Furious franchise ranked. I think it's probably important to note that there have been 11, but okay.
I was actually just about to say that.
We'll go with 10. We're just going to exclude
Hobbs and Shaw,
yeah. Which I don't think you should.
I think Vin Diesel wants to exclude it.
So, all right. So let's just go through the list. At number 10, somehow they have Fast and Furious. Number 4. That's number
Fast
4.
Fast ampersand Furious.
Yeah. Yes, can someone give me what the Furious. Actual number of this movie?
This is number 4. Okay. This is the fourth movie in the series, Fast and Furious, right? Because the first movie was The Fast and the Furious.
Right.
This is the fourth, and they have it ranked dead last.
Disagree, but okay.
Oh, this is not. Oh no.
I'll let you go through the whole list before I say great. This is trash, but go ahead.
At number 9, Too Fast, Too Furious. At number 8, Fast 10. Which is the one that is has it released?
It's released on the 19th. Yeah, it just released this past weekend.
Yes, brand new movie. It is 8th on the list. At number 7, Tokyo Drift. CJ, that's the third movie in the series, but correct. Also somehow the 7th.
Timeline order, it's the 7th. Timeline order is six and a half.
Release order, six, though.
Yeah, that's right.
Had it followed a normal naming convention, it would have been called the Fast and Furious 3, but here we are.
That's correct. At six, we have Fast 6. I don't know how you put that there, but okay. At five, The Fate of the Furious. That's a play on eight. Fate. F8.
Yes. Even though when they advertised it, they never put F and then the number 8.
That's right.
They never did that.
Nope, they never did.
They just hope you got it onomatopoetically, right?
That's right. That's right.
Yes!
Four. Frumpy. No, I got Ian McShane. Good job. Sounds like. Okay. It's freezing too cold. Okay.
You will pass it up.
Is this a West Wing reference?
It's a West Wing reference.
All right, there you go. That makes sense.
Ian McShane joins the West Wing for one episode. At four, we have F9. That's the number four. Number three, the very first movie in the franchise, The Fast and the Furious. At number two, Furious 7. That's when Jason Statham joined. And at number one, Fast 5. That may be the only one I'm okay with.
I'll give you Fast 5 at number one.
Right. At number, like, at Fast 5 is when they kind of established this is the crew.
I'll even say the top three are pretty much where I would put them, right? I don't think The Fast and the Furious is number two. I like Furious 7 much more. But everything after the top three is a mess.
The first movie is number three. The first movie is number three.
Right.
So what's your number two? And I wouldn't.
So I wouldn't change that top three. My opinion.
I would.
Okay.
I would.
What are you doing?
I'd move six. I move six into number two.
Okay.
But because what you have at six is Letty comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, you know, just a little important.
Sure.
And it was a really, really stellar movie. But I don't know how on earth you put the fourth movie at number 10. That's insane.
Oh, we're going to get to that in a second. The reason I'm reason I'm okay with seven being number two in comparison to six, as much as I do enjoy six, I think Owen Shaw's a better villain than his brother. I think I like Jason Statham better in that role. I think,
Deckard. Right?
Deckard. I'm sorry. Yeah. It's Deckard Shaw and Owen Shaw, right? So Jason's Owen.
Yeah, but Owen is.
Or is Owen Luke Wilson?
No.
Or Luke, whatever his name is. Okay. I think Deckard Shaw's a better. I like Jason Statham. He does all the kicking. Okay. I like him better as a villain. I like this movie's. Listen, when I say I like this movie's story, it's a Fast and Furious movie. It's very bare bones, right? But I do like the story better. But I will also say the other thing that just ekes us out ahead is the whole Paul Walker send-off. You can't look at that movie and not have that go into your thought process, right? So I that just ekes it above six for me. I would put six at four. I would have the third – The Fast, The Furious, three – Point Break with cars, perfect, right? Why the fuck is F9 so high on this list? Why is Fate of the Furious so high on this list? Like, with Fate, that's when these movies started getting truly ridiculous.
Off the rails.
Off the rails.
Yeah.
Like, off the rails.
You can move anything after Paul Walker's departure to the back.
Right.
Right? Move it all the way to the end, and that's okay. It's okay to say these movies are not as good without Paul Walker. That is true. 100% true.
Yep.
Also, they shouldn't be taking on submarines or outer space or time travel or whatever.
Right. And Fate of the Furious was that one with all the the self-driving vehicles going after Vin Diesel, right? Like, isn't that the one where doesn't Charlize Theron, Cypher, take over a whole bunch of cars in a town?
Yeah, she's crashing cars.
For no reason.
She's dropping cars like bombs. Yeah.
Forget about because I know CJ is going to mention the naming convention of this franchise, and that is what it is. The Fate of the Furious, it's tied for last. I don't know which one I dislike more. And when I say dislike, I enjoy all these movies, right?
Sure. Like, no. I'm getting that none of this is an indictment. It's just like,
but like, okay, if I, it's like,
these
it's
are
like,
10 A, B,
right,
and C.
It's like ranking all the Marvel movies, right? Even a bad Marvel movie is still a pretty decent film. And I feel the same way about the Fast and Furious franchise, right? It's like, even the bad ones are still fun. I get exactly what I want out of them. I want explosions. I want cars. Vroom, vroom, go fast. That's kind of what I'm looking for, right? So when I say the worst in the franchise, it's tied for Too Fast, Too Furious and Fate of the Furious for me.
Too Harry, Too Potter.
Right. And it's just a matter of a coin flip at the end of the day. Like, which one do I put in dead last? I actually enjoy Tokyo Drift. I enjoy Tokyo Drift way more than I should enjoy Tokyo Drift.
Agreed.
But it was the first movie to ever feature drifting ever. So that gets points in my book. And, you know, the character, the story was good. I understood what they were trying to do, you know, but I haven't seen Fast X, Fast 10, whatever you want to call it.
FX.
I haven't seen it yet, so I really can't be honest about the ranking. But that trilogy of 4, 5, and 6 is the best the series has been, right?
The trilogy isn't 4, 5, four, and 6.
I'm sorry, no,
five,
you're right.
Six,
I'm sorry,
seven.
It's 5, 6, 7, right?
Yeah.
5, 6, 7 is the core of that series. It's the best that series has ever been. It's the Avengers Endgame of that series, right?
Yes.
And the rest are just kind of around. The fact that 6 is not higher is upsetting. The fact that 4 is not higher is upsetting. I actually highly enjoy 4. I don't know why 4 gets so much hate.
Does it get
hate? It gets a lot of hate. Like, no. And for some reason, people don't like 4. I don't know if it's because that's where they killed Letty. I don't know. I enjoyed 4. It was actually a movie about stealing cars again. Like, that's...
Yeah, it's not... Listen, it's not like it's Cole Hauser and Eva Mendes.
Right.
That was terrible.
Right, exactly. I don't know. I you know, I feel like Brian Grubb I don't know how you pronounce that, at uprocks.com. I don't feel like he watched them recently. Like, and I follow some critics who every time they talk about doing these, what they call listicles, right? These top 10 lists are usually like, I watch them in order to do that. That's why I respect them as critics. I don't feel like I don't feel like you watched them recently. And I know there are 10 films and they're all 2.5 hours a piece. I know that's like a whole day and a half of watching movies, but is that not what you get paid for? I feel like you should have watched them. But anyway, I digress. I've said my piece. CJ, what would you like to say?
I ducked out of Fast and Furious on Fast 5.
Why? That's where it got good. Again,
what do you mean?
It jumped the shark for me, with the safe going through the whole place of Brazil.
What do you mean you ducked out? What does that mean?
It means he was done with the franchise.
Means I have not gone to a movie theater to see a Fast and
have
Furious
movie. Have you not seen?
Since Fast 5. Have I seen? Probably. Did I pay attention
to it with any
actual ability to recall anything? No.
You know, I stopped watching right when it got good.
I have not seen, I tell you, I have not seen the 7th, 8th, and 9th movie. I didn't see the one where they go to space. I saw the scene where they sent Paul Walker off. I did not watch the movie.
Okay, first off, they did not go to space. They sent a car into low orbit.
The franchise.
Listen.
I didn't see it. I didn't see Fact 6 with the deep fake of Paul Walker and that beautiful send. I watched a beautiful send off. I love the Charlie Puth song. I was there. I stopped after Fast 5.
I feel like you're expecting more from this franchise.
No,
where you stopped.
All I said was, this isn't fun. Sorry. The Rock and Vin Diesel thing, The Rock was as tall as Vin. I wasn't. No, thank you.
That's,
I'm done.
Okay.
You lost me with the safes going through Brazil. You tried real hard. I love Gal Gadot. Appreciate it. This was great.
It's okay. She doesn't make it till the end of 6 anyway.
I'm out.
Spoilers for the Fast and Furious franchise for a movie that's,
I think at this point,
old.
Anyone listening to this show has watched all the Fast and Furious just on the fact that.
Except
how,
for you,
how
apparently, and you're on this
show.
Yeah,
I always stop watching
it,
sports
but
right before the playoffs. That's when I stopped.
Listen, I gave it 5 movies!
No, but no, you didn't.
Win me
but
over
no,
after
you five,
movies,
give it 5 movies.
I had to get through the other 5 to appreciate the other. Nah, it's too much.
First off, this is not one of those scenarios where, oh, just tough it out, it gets really good, right?
No, it's not.
Fast and the Furious, Too Fast, Too Furious, Tokyo Drift, and Fast Ampersand Furious are all still good movies. They're just varying degrees of good, but they are still good movies. Fast Five is where the franchise decided to reinvent itself and say,
correct,
this is the last heist movie, right?
Right.
Up until then, you had had, with the exception of Tokyo Drift, which was more of a street racing movie still,
yeah,
you had heist movies that happened to have street racing as the backdrop. Correct. Fast Five was the last time we were a heist film. And yeah, so they said,
then we became secret agents.
Right. Yes. But they said, with this movie, we're going to go balls to the wall. We're going to create the crew. We're going to solidify the family and we're going to have fun. And then we're going to go off in this new direction where we're now more of an action film. But instead of guns, we throw cars at each other, right?
I did see Hobbs and Shaw in the theater, and I like that. Where's Hobbs and Shaw go on this? If you put this into this list, does it throw off your ranking too much? Because you said, I can't believe they excluded it, but like,
no,
you guys didn't rank it at
all.
You
put Hobbs and Shaw at 9, and then you have 8, 9, and 10. You have at 10 A, B, and C. It's Hobbs and Shaw is better than 8, 9, and 10.
You rip, grind, grub a hole for me, like, you know, there's actually, you know, I'm just saying.
No, I just feel like he should have watched the films.
Hobbs and Shaw.
And yes, he forgot Hobbs and Shaw. I grill Brian Grubb because I feel like his rankings are off because he didn't watch them. Because you know what?
I can certainly agree with that. I mean, I'm reading his snarky write-ups and I'm like, all right, like, okay. Oh, Pert Hapley reports the news. All right, that wasn't, like, that's a thing you're gonna take up column inches with that? That's a thing you want to spend character limits on? That? Pert Hapley from Parks and Rec? That's what you want to start off the article with? Get out of here.
Minus 1 point for trying to insult me with Parks and Rec.
How am I insulting you?
Anyway.
I'm insulting the guy who wrote this. Who starts off with, the incident is covered by television by the same actor who played Pert Hapley in Parks and Recreation. That's the first thing that happens in the movie. What the fuck does that have to do with anything? Get off of that.
Oh, I'm sorry. Which one are you looking at?
The very last one. Fast Five.
All right.
Like,
my bad.
Why
plus
is
one
this,
point because
again,
I write with a pen, not a pencil. So you're welcome.
okay. Like, there's no, like, you're absolutely right. This person's not a fan, nor do I think they watched them recently. And they listened to, like, they did, like, probably double speed through the movie itself.
Here's the thing.
But this is to me just like the Transformer franchise, Brian, where, like, you just want to see robots fight robots.
Right.
Right. And that's Transformers. But then, like, I had to sit through the last night. Or whatever the hell it was called.
It was the last
Transformers
night.
Right. And listen, and I don't know if you know this. This is actually a robot skin because I died that day. Right.
CJ, we can argue about Transformers when the new Transformers comes out in July and Brian does his list of the Transformers films ranked because there's now 7 or 8 of them. Right. We can argue about the validity of what you said then.
I'm glad you guys love this franchise so much. And I'm glad that so many people find the love and enjoyment that they do out of it. And that Corona sales spike every year when they drop one. And it's all about family and family.
Is that accurate or are you just trying to make a bad joke? Do Corona sales actually
spike? Pretty sure. I have no market research to back it up.
I do know what I can tell you for a fact that the amount of backyard barbecues goes up every year when they release a Fast Furious movie.
I think the Coronas they buy for the production has to spike the sales of that company. I'm glad you guys love it. It's perfectly serviceable. They are fine. There's nothing wrong at all with anybody liking any of these movies.
You don't know what true cinema is.
I'm not a snob. Please, this is popcorn movie. This is blockbuster summer movies.
Josh.
Great.
Do you want to tell CJ why he's wrong before we move on?
No, go ahead.
Okay, so I have a question now. I say
turn off your brain and watch a movie. This is what this is.
The same thing about Hamilton, which is it's not my thing. I understand why people like it. I'm just not a huge fan. And I don't understand the hype. And I get eviscerated, not just via podcast, but via text from someone's wife. I get eviscerated. We're now saying this about Fast and Furious, which, listen, I'm not going to say is on the caliber of something like Hamilton, but you have nothing to say, Josh?
I think those are two different things, aren't they?
Listen, I thought, I didn't think CJ was doing the same hypocritical bullshit that you do with Hamilton. I thought,
yeah.
I thought he was simply saying, you know, I stopped liking it here, which is dumb. Again, I'll go back to my, I stopped watching sports right before the playoffs. Like you stopped when it became something new and different and whatever.
Yeah.
The thing that I'm having a hard time with is CJ's failure to suspend disbelief. This.
Sure.
I wasn't
gripped by this movie. It wasn't a suspension of disbelief. The suspension of disbelief was that their suspension could carry a safe.
That's what I'm saying. You have the fact that you're incapable of ignoring it.
The safe going through Brazil was not me going, well, clearly that's impossible. I can't even watch this movie at this point. It's just me going, this story isn't interesting to me. He came from Brazil. He's really upset about them. He's trying to get them. They got to plan this heist. I get it. I just don't care. That's a difference between this would never fucking happen. Jurisdiction, goddammit. The Rock can't come down to Brazil to arrest them. That's not how jurisdiction. That's not what I'm railing against, right? That's not my problem. I just watched the story and going, this wasn't that interesting. This wasn't that fun.
I feel like you want to be invested in the characters, and that's not this movie.
No, I just didn't like that story, and I've watched, I don't know the naming convention, how many Fast and Furious movies are at 5. Is it actual 5? Is it 6?
It's actually 5.
How many Fast and Furious movies did I watch? Okay, great.
If you watched all of them, you watched up to that point, you watched 5.
If I watched all the 5, I watched 5 movies. I liked some of the others. I didn't like some of the others too, but like Fast 5, just like I'm not in anymore. I'm good for you. Enjoy it. Please go have fun. I'll watch it at some way, not really paying attention to it. I saw when Letty came back and they went through the underground tunnels and they were driving through Mexico and the US. That was pretty cool.
That was 4. She didn't come back. She died.
That scene was in 4. She died. Well, she didn't.
These things don't mean anything to me, right? Just like we talked about with sports, Josh. Right? I cared nothing about baseball until finally someone made baseball interesting to me. I don't care about the Fast and Furious movies the way that everybody else.
What would it take for you to watch the Fast and Furious franchise?
I honestly don't know. I don't know what they would have to do.
Oh, I'm not saying they. What would I, as a fan of the franchise, have to do, short of Clockwork Orange you into the chair, to get you to watch past Fast 5?
I don't think there's that level of distrust or disdain for it. I don't know. Make me an offer. Name your price.
I'll have to get back to you on that. I will marinate on that. I just feel like, not only do I think this franchise is fun, and not only do I think this franchise just keeps finding new and inventive places to put cars, right? Like, which in and of itself is fun. Listen, the cars in this film are like Tom Cruise in every Mission Impossible movie, right? There's always one there's always one stunt where you're like, why would you do that, Tom? Like, but I'm with you. It's cool. But okay, was this necessary? Did you really need to do a halo jump? But anyway, I feel like this, listen, we poke fun, we family and all this other stuff. That's neither here nor there. I think
that's a little here nor there.
I think the story is very rudimentary. It's meant to be rudimentary. You are supposed to be a little bit invested in not the characters, but the unit, and the family unit that they've created. And you're there for the fun, the explosions. It's pretty much the reason you watch a Michael Bay film, but just a notch higher, right? A little bit better. But I think you've got to give this franchise credit. And I don't know if this is Vin Diesel's decision as a producer or whoever is writing them, but what you have to remember is The Fast and the Furious came out and it was a big hit. And everybody, I remember seeing this film, and what was that, 99 did that film come out? 2001. So I was right about to drive. I was on the cusp of driving age. And I remember seeing this film and everybody peeling out of the parking lot.
The Fast and the Furious came out 2000.
That's what I said. Everybody's peeling out of the parking lot like they too are Dominic Toretto in their 1990 Volvo station wagon, right? And that's just the kind of feeling you got from this film. Hugely popular, right? And so obviously we jump on that. We do a Too Fast, Too Furious. But Vin Diesel was the breakout in that movie. And he's like, eh, I don't think I want to do another one. I got other things to do, right? I forget what movie. He was probably doing the Triple X franchise, right? And so you move forward. So now you move forward without one of your co-leads. And you still make not a great film, but a passable, fun film that introduced Tej and Roman, right? Introduced Tyrese Gibson and Ludacris' characters, who have since come back and become very lovable parts of the franchise. And then when that film did not do what you wanted to do, they say, hey, it was one of those films that didn't do great, but didn't do so terrible that we just scrapped the franchise in general. So they say, let's do a reboot. Right? That's what Tokyo Drift was essentially supposed to be. It was supposed to be soft reboot, same concept, street racing, gangs. Let's move it over to Tokyo so that people aren't asking, where's Brian? Where's Dom? Right? And we'll get Lil Bow Wow, who is no longer Lil, and we'll have some fun with this. We'll get back to our roots, which was the street racing, right? And that film did fine. But still, people were like, where's Brian? Where's Dom? What the hell? And so we throw in the cameo of Dom at the end. And instead of calling quits after that, they say, you know what? Let's reinvent ourselves again. By doing what is old is new again, let's bring back the original cast. And let's just reboot this sucker. And they do Fast & Furious, which obviously is what kicked off the whole new franchise that we have now. But more importantly, it was the last hurrah of the street racing, as I was mentioning before. And then this franchise reinvents itself and says, we're no longer street racing. We're full on action. We're just going to have these characters. We're going to have the cars. Come on. Like, what other franchise has gone through four different reinventions, multiple recastings, bringing back old people, adding new people, was able to then take even the stuff that was supposed to be not connected at all, bring it back into the story, have it make sense, which we joke about, oh, where's Tokyo Drift? In the timeline, it's in between 6 and 7, and it makes sense. Like, and to bring people back from the dead in a way that makes sense, right? Like,
The only way that has ever worked is comic books.
That's probably why I enjoy the series so much. It's comic books with cars. That's why I enjoy this series.
Please enjoy this. Have fun with it. I will name your price. I'll watch the rest with the attention and gusto that they so deserve. But the reason why they were able to do this is because they have gotten away with things that only been done with comic books. There will not be another franchise in our lifetime that will be able to do the renaissance that the Fast and Furious franchise got to do, right? Even the Marvel movies with phases hasn't done this. Even DC trying their goddamnedest to do what they're doing has not pulled this off, right? Like, this is unique. This is an incredible amount of work that's gone into it, and this fandom is fanatic, and I'm so happy that they exist.
And hence, even as a mental exercise, it deserves your watch. But I'm going to give you a point for making me realize why I enjoy this series so much, because it is pretty much comic books with cars. So there you go, CJ. Yeah. You're welcome. Josh, do you have any last parting words on Fast and Furious before we move on to whatever we're going to do next?
I think we part at this point.
I was about to say.
Yeah, we wrap up.
I was about to say, so CJ's topic, not topic, took up about a half hour. Took about a half hour. This took about a half hour. Josh, I want to give you two more points for bringing this up because my goodness, I not only did I uncover a truth about myself, But I do enjoy this franchise way more than I even thought I was. I thought this was more of a, oh, this is a fun film. But I actually legitimately enjoy this franchise. And I am not ashamed to say it. I won't be building a car in my garage any kind time soon. But I will enjoy watching Vin Diesel do it. So with that, I will go ahead and wrap it up here, folks. So that is our show. With the final tabulation of points, I have CJ at 6, Josh at 7, making Josh the winner for today's episode. Congratulations, Josh. Anything?
Thank you.
Any winner speech or anything you'd like to say in response to winning today's episode?
Nope.
Excellent.
I'm not going to gloat.
You know what? We all love a humble winner. So thank you very much. You know what? In fact, extra point just to get that win a little bit further for how humble you are. So now it is 8-6. Congratulations, Josh. Looking forward to seeing you host next week. And to those who are listening, is CJ out of his mind? I think he is. The answer is yes. And if you say that CJ is out of his mind, you too get a point, dear listener. You're welcome. Other than that, I will end this show by saying that is the show. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a great day or night.
Well, welcome to the club, because you are that kind of nerd.